And let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your wondrous love to us in Christ. We thank you for crowning our days with good, for overwhelming us with good. Pray that you'll help us now. We thank you for our Bibles. Pray that you'll help us to make good use of them by your Spirit. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as it turns out, this is the last time we're scheduled to meet together for evening worship at the church campus for a while, because on June 9th, we plan to begin our Sunday evening home gatherings in Camarillo and Oxnard and Ventura. We've done that in the past, and it's been well received to encourage fellowship and make it geographically more convenient to attend the evening worship gatherings. We do it during the summer months rather than the winter because the days are longer and our ideal weather allows us to move outdoors and find a little more room out there. And I hope to be bringing some of those messages for several of those gatherings. And my plan is to use Sinclair Ferguson's book entitled The Christian Life as kind of a launching pad for my lessons. The subtitle of the book is A Doctrinal Introduction, which is his way of saying that the book is an introduction to basic foundational Bible doctrines. And as I announce my plan and you hear that word doctrine, some of you might say to yourself, oh goodness me, that sounds terribly boring. I was hoping for something more practical. Could you please let me know where you'll be teaching so I can plan to attend somewhere else? Isn't doctrine what Christians like to fight about? Isn't learning doctrine what we pay Pastor Anderson to do? Doesn't pastor do the doctrinal stuff and we just do the practical Christian living part? Well, to introduce the subject of doctrine invites many such questions and exposes our confusion about what Christian doctrine is and why it's important. Ferguson, in his book, addresses the question in a basic way, by asking, what do we need doctrine for? Why should I, a plain, ordinary, everyday, garden variety Christian, spend my time learning doctrine? And his brief answer to that important question is the title to the first chapter, which is Knowing is for Living. That is, knowing Christian doctrine is foundational to Christian living. And if you like take-home lessons, that's the take-home lesson today or tonight. For me to learn and understand and know the truths that are revealed in the Bible is fundamentally important for me in order to live my life as a follower of Jesus Christ. So, the first doctrine in his book introducing us to doctrine is the doctrine about doctrine. It's the Bible doctrine. And that's our topic tonight. Please avoid the tendency to be put off and intimidated by the term doctrine. To some, it has a very dry and distant technical connotation. The idea of knowing and learning doctrine raises fear of having to join the fray of hard-to-understand intellectual squabbles between Christians and having to learn long words that are difficult to pronounce or define. But don't be afraid of doctrine. Doctrine means Bible truth. Bible truth that God desires us to know and understand and apply to our living. It's the truth that God has revealed in the Bible that he intends us to learn and become convinced of. The first three questions in the shorter catechism, in fact, emphasize the Bible doctrine about Bible doctrine. In fact, the Westminster Shorter Catechism was invented about 380 years ago as a useful tool for learning doctrine. And many of us are pretty good with the first question in the Shorter Catechism, which is, what is the chief end of man? And we're pretty good with the answer to that one. The chief end of man is to, nicely done, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But on question 2 and 3, we're not quite as ready to answer. At least I'm not. But I'll help you there. The second question is, what rule has God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him? And the answer to that one is the Word of God. Namely, the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him. The third question is, what do the Scriptures principally teach? And the answer to that one is, the Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. And notice how nicely and simply those three questions help us to answer what does doctrine mean and why is it important? Doctrine refers to the rule that God has given us to direct us in how we may glorify and enjoy Him. Doctrine is the Word of God revealed in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, which explains what we are to believe about God and what duty God requires of us. And it matters that you and I learn doctrine so that we may achieve our chief end, which is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. It is a great kindness of God that He has not remained silent, but that He has revealed Himself in the truths we find in our Bibles. And that's what doctrine is. We don't have to stumble around and try to figure out how to glorify and enjoy Him by relying on our own vain imagination and intuition. He's given us His Word as the rule. To learn and understand Bible doctrine is what it means to be a student of theology. Listen to what R.C. Sproul says. No Christian can avoid theology. Every Christian is a theologian. Perhaps not a theologian in the technical or professional sense, but a theologian nevertheless. The issue for Christians is not whether we are going to be theologians or not, but whether we're going to be good theologians or bad ones. So, the take-home lesson is that for me to know Bible doctrine is vitally important for me to live my Christian life. Sinclair Ferguson tells me so. The Shorter Catechism tells me so. R.C. Sproul tells me so. So now please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, where the Bible tells me so. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Listen to the Word of God in verses 14 through 17 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. You, however, continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you've known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Now notice that Paul frames his points in a way that makes it very easy for us to track with him. His command in verse 14 kind of anchors the passage when he urges Timothy to continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of. And that to that he attaches three reasons why. In order to explain why it's important to continue in these things. And the first reason is continue in these things, knowing from whom you've learned them. That's in verse 14. Continue in these things because of what they are able to give you. That is what he describes in verse 15. And thirdly, continue in these things because of the prophets. It will pay you. That's what he tells us in verses 16 and 17. You'll also notice that Paul's command for Timothy to continue in these things is a you however command. That is because he began chapter 3 with a sober warning. That's in verse 1, where he says, "But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come." Paul solemnly warns that difficult times will come because men will depart from rather than continue in these things. Those times will be made difficult, he will go on to explain, we won't read it, because men will love the wrong things. They will be lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. And notice verse 7, he describes their manner of learning. He says, "Always learning and never able to come to knowledge of the truth." They have a sorry manner of living that results from a sorry manner of learning. Their manner of learning was like a truck stuck in the mud. The wheels of their mind spun around furiously with a great expenditure of energy and noise, but they could never get any traction with the truth. They went deeper and deeper in the muck, but they never made any forward progress in gaining knowledge of the truth. Difficult times will come, times that are needlessly difficult, because men will devote themselves to a type of learning that fails to arrive at the truth. By way of contrast, in verse 14, Paul says, "You, however, in contrast to those men, in contrast to the men that will bring those difficult times, you continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of." In other words, don't depart from doctrine by learning it. Don't depart from doctrine. And the first reason why is knowing from whom you have learned it. Do not depart from learning sound doctrine, from seeking to understand it, from becoming convinced of it, and from applying it to your living. Do not depart, but continue in it, and you will avoid the kind of sad and needless difficulty that will come in the last days. And the first reason he gives why it's important not to depart from doctrine, but to continue in it, is knowing those from whom you have learned these things. In other words, Timothy, one key reason that you must continue in these things that you have learned and become convinced of is because you've been blessed to have learned them from those who delivered to you the truth of God. And I think the teacher that Paul thinks of in particular when he says that is himself. He's identified himself in this letter as one of Timothy's most important teachers of the truth. In chapter 1, verse 8, he said, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel." And in chapter 1, verse 13, he said, "Retain the standard of sound words which you've heard from me in the faith and the love which are in Jesus Christ." And in chapter 2, verse 2, he said, "And the things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others." Timothy learned these things from Paul. And so Paul urges him to continue in them. Furthermore, Paul has explained why his teaching of these things has special significance. And that is because he's an apostle. In chapter 1, verse 1, he identified himself as Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Jesus Christ. And in chapter 1, verse 11, he added that he was appointed by God, preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the gospel. So in other words, Paul urges Timothy to continue in these things he's learned and become convinced of, knowing that he's learned them from an apostle of Jesus Christ, from one who's been specially appointed by God to reveal the eternal truth of God. And notice also in verses 15 and 16, he points to some other teachers from whom Timothy has learned these things. In verse 15, Paul notes that from childhood, Timothy has known the sacred writings. The sacred writings in this case refer to the Old Testament scripture. And it would not be surprising if Timothy had learned the sacred writings from childhood as a result of the faithful instruction and influence of his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, or both of them, for Paul had commended them in chapter 1, verse 5. In any event, I think that Paul's urging Timothy to continue in and not depart from the doctrine he's learned and become convinced of, both from the sacred writings of the Old Testament scriptures and from the apostolic teaching he's received from Paul, because in both cases, they reveal the word of God. Plus, when Paul commands him to continue in these things, knowing from whom you've learned them, I think he may also want Timothy to remember the author of the truth that he's come to learn from his human teachers and instructors. Paul names the author of the truth that Timothy has learned when he declares in verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God. God is the author of all the doctrinal truth that Timothy has learned and become convinced of. God is the author of the sacred writings of the Old Testament scriptures that he's learned from childhood, and God is the author of the apostolic teachings that Timothy learned from Paul. And incidentally, these apostolic teachings would, within a relatively short period of time, historically speaking, soon be recognized by the church as belonging to the canon of Scripture. And as a result of that, they've become part of the 27 books of our New Testament, which were added to the Old Testament and now represent our Bibles. So the things that Timothy learned and became convinced of came from the apostolic teaching and the sacred writings of the Old Testament. The things that you and I learn and become convinced of when we learn doctrine are the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments that we have in our Bible. And in both cases, Timothy's and ours, we're learners of the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. From this doctrine, we should not depart. In this doctrine, we should continue. And we can apply the following lesson for ourselves. Continue to learn and become convinced of Bible doctrine because God is the author. And the truths that he reveals in the Bible speak to us with his authority. Paul adds a second reason in verse 15 why Timothy and why you and I ought to continue in doctrine. And that reason relates to what the scriptures are able to give us. We should continue in the truths we've learned and become convinced of in the scriptures, which are able to give us the wisdom that leads to salvation. That is why you and I need to learn Bible doctrine. It is because knowing Bible doctrine can give us the wisdom that leads to salvation. Bible doctrine is able to both give the wisdom that leads to gaining salvation initially and gaining the wisdom that leads to growing in salvation throughout my life. The necessary implication of that is this: as long as a person refuses to learn doctrine or remains ignorant of Bible truth, then that person cannot and will not gain the wisdom that leads to salvation. The Bible reveals the truth about who Jesus is and about what Jesus has done in order to secure salvation for sinners like you and me. The Bible also teaches that it is by faith that I must call upon the name of the Lord with a heart of belief and full reliance upon Jesus to save me by him doing for me what I cannot do for myself, namely giving me a new birth, forgiving me from my sins, giving me perfect righteousness. However, as Paul reminds us in Romans 10:17, that such a faith in Jesus comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. In order to gain the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Jesus, I must, for example, know the truth the Bible reveals regarding who Jesus is, as you would find in Philippians 2:6-7. Where Paul says that Jesus, although he existed in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. In other words, Jesus was fully God
who humbled himself by becoming fully human as well. Also, in order to gain the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Jesus, I need to know what the Bible reveals, explaining what Jesus has done to acquit me from my sin and guilt and to forgive me forever. And so you might turn to a truth like 1 Peter 2:24 and 25. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. In other words, he suffered the just punishment of God in my place as my substitute, bearing my sin. Or if you like doctrinal terms, that's a substitutionary atonement that Jesus obtained for you and me. Plus, in order to gain the wisdom that leads to salvation by faith in Jesus, I need to know what Jesus has done in order to give me perfect righteousness. And that is explained, for example, in Romans 5:19, for as through the one man's disobedience, in which case Paul's referring to Adam, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, that is Jesus, the many will be made righteous. In other words, since Jesus obeyed God perfectly, those who come to him in faith get credit for Jesus' perfect righteousness. Or if you like doctrinal terms, that describes the imputation of Jesus' perfect righteousness to us. The Bible is the book whose main theme is Jesus. The study of the Bible doctrine is important in order for you and me to know Jesus, in order to gain him as our Savior, that we might truly live and live as we ought. Charles Spurgeon said, "Brethren, the truth of God is the only treasure for which we seek, and the Scripture is the only field in which we dig for it. Beloved, let this be the one and chief object in your study of the Bible, the knowledge of Jesus. The Bible is not a history, a book of science, or a poem. It is a record of Christ. Study it to know more of him, his nature, his love, his work. With the magnanimous Paul, count all things but loss for the excellency of knowing, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, your Lord. Then will God's word become increasingly precious to your soul and its truths unfold." So, Paul commands Timothy and us not to depart from the things of Scripture that we have learned to become convinced of because of the salvation wisdom they are able to give. And then he adds a third reason to continue in these things in verses 16 and 17, and that is, do not depart from the doctrine you've learned to become convinced of because of the profits that they pay. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable. The Scriptures pay the profits of teaching, reproving, correcting, and training you and me in righteousness. Of these four profits, two kind of have a positive direction and two have a negative direction. Teaching and training in righteousness refer to the positive work that the precepts and the principles and the examples of our Bibles do to positively guide and direct us in the paths of righteousness and to transform us by means of the working of the Holy Spirit. As a result, in our attitudes and words and practice, we prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect, as Paul puts it in Romans 12:2. On the other hand, reproof and correction are profitable, having a negative operation in us. Here, the Word of God is that living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, judging the thoughts and intentions of our heart, correcting and reproving our faults and failures. It's able to shed light on the dark corners of our life, our secret sins, and to warn us to flee and repent. It's able to cut through the nonsense of our excuses and rationalizations, to reprove us and correct us and move us to take necessary action to deal with our sin by the grace of God. And these positive and negative profitable features of the doctrine of God's Word achieve a purpose in our lives, which is identified in verse 17, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You and I need to learn and understand and obediently apply the doctrines of Scripture so that we will be adequate rather than inadequate to live normal rather than substandard Christian lives, so that we will be equipped rather than ill-equipped for every good work. Our family used to take camping trips to Yosemite about this time of year, and our children learned fairly quickly how to spot first-time hikers who were inadequate and ill-equipped for the trail. We would try to hike early to avoid the heat of June afternoons. And so as we came down the steep trail to conclude our hike, as the temperatures were rising around noontime, we saw the inadequate, ill-equipped first-time hikers heading up, wearing flip-flops that they just bought from Walmart and carrying a stubby little bottle of water that looks like this, looking tired, regretful, and very thirsty. As a hiker should plan to carry adequate water and wear proper shoes, so too the Christian should rely on the doctrines of the Bible to equip and make him adequate for the Christian life by its teaching and training and correction and reproofs. So, that is the Bible doctrine concerning Bible doctrine. Knowing is for living. Knowing Bible doctrine, that is, knowing the truths that God reveals in His Word, is foundationally and fundamentally important to living a normal Christian life. If you are lazy and neglectful about learning and understanding and obediently applying the doctrines taught by the Scriptures, then you can expect to be inadequate and ill-equipped for any good work. And perhaps you protest and say, well, I don't need to concern myself with learning Bible doctrine because Christianity is about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I just live my life and go and do as I feel Jesus is leading me to do. Well, yes, it's true that Christianity grants a sinner a personal relationship with Jesus, but it is foolish to believe that you will grow in that relationship without an active engagement of your mind to learn the doctrine of God's Word. To rely on feeling and to fail to learn the truth God has revealed invites a needlessly difficult life. God meets us in His Word, and God has revealed Himself to us in His Word. Our relationship with Him depends on knowing doctrine. You do not have to get an A on the doctrine quiz to go to heaven. But the more you seek to learn and understand and obediently apply the doctrine taught in your Bible, the more delightful your walk with Christ in this world will be. And if you don't believe that, then, for example, you can read Psalm 119 this week. It's a long one, divided up into seven parts. We'll just read one stanza, and that'll be the end of this talk, but we'll turn to Psalm 119 and just read verses 97 through 104. This psalm sounds like it was written by a happy Christian. Happy because he's known the truth of God and lived according to it. Listen to Psalm 119, verses 97 to 104. Says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thy commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I've observed thy precepts. I've restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep thy word. I've not turned aside from thine ordinances, for thou thyself hast taught me. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Our Father, we thank you for your kindness to reveal
yourself in your way to reveal the Savior to us in our Bibles. And I pray that you will give us a greater love for the truths revealed. Give us help by your Spirit to understand them. Give us grace by your Spirit to obey them. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.